yes, I guess I was eating into my own time there. So, but I also enjoyed the conversation. So what I'm going to talk to you, following on from our last discussion, is this whole area of analytics, and specifically analytics applied to trading infrastructure. So let me see if I can get this. Okay, here we go. That looks correct. We were wondering whether we got the right slide deck. So last year, again, I was delighted to be able to speak at this conference last year, and again this year. We talked about the application of analytics to machine time data. And, you know, in kind of hindsight, I think over the last 5 to 6 years, we've been really looking at what is definitely now going to come into the first wave of analytics applied to electronic trade infrastructure. And if we think about what this first wave was about, it was largely, as I said earlier, it's about providing transparency and understanding as to what exactly is going on and why is it happening. For the most part, when we started out this journey, when latency was the key determinant of success versus failure, a lot of the focus was simply about, can I measure my latency? And that's how we got into this business. We had some unique technology to be able to specifically and accurately measure the speed at which market data was being delivered, the speed at which orders could get executed, the speed at which we could respond to an order or to a tick and make a trade decision. It turned out that one of the things that we needed to do was to measure time quite accurately. And that's a little bit of a hint as to where the future lies. And we needed to be able to measure that across a high volume of data and data events. So specifically order flow, which tends to be a lot lower volume compared to market data. And a lot of the times, as we were trying to set up these infrastructures, it was largely figuring out, okay, there's a problem there, let's troubleshoot this, let's fix it, let's get the system up and running correctly. Maybe we can monitor the performance of our system on behalf of our clients, offer clients some reporting to say that we're doing a good job. And as I said, this really brought transparency and understanding into the trade execution lifecycle. And not everyone has completed that journey yet. There's lots of people who have infrastructures like this, and so happens we talked about fixed income earlier. This is a classic fixed income type of infrastructure where you have a broker dealer in the middle, customers on the left, interdealer markets on the right, and what you basically need to be able to do is to be able to monitor the messages as they go in and out and be able to tell how the system is performing against the execution outcome. It's not as straightforward, and maybe this diagram is highlighting that there's a range of complexities involved, but essentially what you're trying to do is that as someone comes in and requests a quote and you respond with a quote, you just have to be able to do that timely and you have to make sure the quote is good. And that's not so straightforward because you have to make sure you're getting prices in a timely fashion from the marketplace, and you have to make sure that you're able to execute the orders as they come in a timely fashion, such that you don't get picked off. And there's a lot of that happening. There's a lot of that happening out there. A lot of people struggle with understanding why it happens, where specifically is the slower part of the infrastructure. And what you're really trying to get to is a picture like this. So this would be a complete visibility into the order transaction as it goes through all the different steps in your process. And if you're able to see something like this, then you're able to track every single aspect of this from start to finish, and you're able to identify, say, if an order, one leg is hung and there's some issue involved, why that's happening, and you're able to do that precisely on a time appropriate basis. And we refer to that as machine time, meaning that you're able to track events at the time scale at which machines make decisions. And so we refer to that as machine time. And a lot of our first wave of analytics was is still about ultimately trying to get people this style of picture. And so if a client calls in and goes, what exactly happened to my order? You know, I have it sent in at this time frame. I got this report back. It's not what I expected. You can at least then pull up that client order ID and then be able to go through the transaction lifecycle so that you can explain what happened and why it happened. So this would be pretty much bread and butter stuff. As I said, it's some people are still on this journey. We talked about earlier understanding. If you have this view, then the understanding comes. But there's a, you know, and when I say understanding, it's not just about what's happening in my infrastructure. It's about trying to join the dots between what the business is asking versus what the infrastructure is doing. And so you end up being able to answer some pretty important questions. You know, so if you're the head of the business and you're asking, like, why is my customer RFQ hit rate dropping? So I'm tracking that every single day, and maybe on separate systems. But you're trying to understand, why is that dropping? And inevitably, as humans, the first question we really want to ask is it me or them? Like, is it my fault or someone else's fault? That's the first binary decision you need to answer and answer confidently. Why am I getting hung orders? Is the algorithm I'm using, is that reliable? Is it producing a good result? Do I need to change there? Are there incoming price feeds that are delayed? Am I getting picked off? How would I know if I'm getting picked off? Can I see what the counterparties are doing? Am I executing off stale prices? And these are all day-to-day normal questions that you would look to address through just better transparency into the trade execution lifecycle, through whatever, you know, whatever system you're using. And we know as well, on the buy side, there's a tremendous amount of inquiry to have this type of transparency and visibility from their sell side partner. And again, maybe some reference to that earlier. We see a new wave now emerging off of this. We're not quite there yet. We've been doing a lot of research in this area, and it's the application of machine learning to machine time data, machine learning and AI. It was spoken about earlier this morning, cognitive computing, but specifically our interest here is applying it to machine time data. So the granular transaction data, the granular market event data, and what type of problems are appropriate to apply this technology to, but more specifically, what aspects of machine learning, cognitive computing, and AI are actually useful and reliable, which is a slightly different question to apply to this type of problem. So what I would like to share with you this morning are three examples of work that my machine learning team has been doing at Qorvil, headed up by our chief scientist, Fergal Toomey. So I want to assure you that all the good work was done by him, and I get to talk about it. So the first example that we're going to talk about is can we use machine learning and some derivative of it to get a better understanding on order outcome, and can we use that understanding to optimize the outcome of orders that we place on a venue? So it turns out, again, the chart on the bottom are the myriad of fields that are involved in an order execution, all of which have a certain factor influence on the success or failure of that order execution. In this exercise, we specifically looked at IOC order types, mostly because they're the simplest order type. The obvious intent is to fill the order or cancel straight away. And what we did in the research was to apply machine learning and to show the algorithm basically whether the order succeeded or failed, and ask the algorithm to learn what were the factors involved in a success or fail outcome. that's what machine learning is supposedly good at. And you can see in the chart on the left, the higher amplitude bar implies that that factor would have a higher proportionate impact on the success outcome. What we tried to do then is to say, okay, once we have trained the bot, then how successful would the bot be at predicting the likelihood of an IOC succeeding or failing? And so our initial findings on this was not that encouraging. In fact, it was roughly about 30-35%. Today, it stands at 94%. And the way we did it is that we figured out that different learning algorithms were better at predicting certain things. And what we ended up having to do was to actually blend three machine learning algorithms to get it to a 94% probability, which we actually think is quite good. So again, what this is saying is that the bot can analyze trade flow as with certain key parameters, and the quality of the data is probably the most important factor in determining the success. So anyone who is a data scientist, machine learning specialist will tell you that if you have poor quality data and you have poor diversity of data, your machine learning outcomes will be poor. If you have high quality data, high precision data, and you apply the right learnings, your outcomes can be quite reliable. And what we found here is that through a hybrid approach of different learning algorithms, we actually are quite confident now in our ability to factor, to look at the prediction of the fail versus success outcome on simple IOC order types. And we know we can extend that further. Remember we talked about earlier that with analytics come understanding and then comes insight. So if we go further on this journey, what we're able to do is we're able to identify and rank the key parameters that are involved in an execution outcome, and we can rank them by their overall influence on that outcome. And please forgive me for, I think we can share the slides afterwards, but don't even try to decrypt. I'll tell you what so it turns out that the highest rank parameter up there was the min quantity specified. So if you put in an order with a min quantity larger than a certain number, then the likelihood of a success outcome lowered. So it makes sense, really. But it turned out that that was the most influential parameter. The second one was order type, so the type of order. And then the third was the execution instruction. So interestingly, we don't have latency up there. And so you could quite reasonably ask, well, what's the role of latency? And can we quantify the importance of latency, say, in this specific trading strategy? And so we can look a little bit further at within the rankings themselves. So the order type becomes pretty interesting. So if we delve into, so the min quantity order is pretty straightforward, but if we look at the order type, it turns out that two order types were being used. One was a limit order and the other was a pegged order. And we know that pegged orders are conditional upon the market conditions. So intuitively, we would feel that yes, so failure is more likely. But in the context of limit orders, we could investigate like why are some of those failing. So green is success, red is failure. So it turns out that, well, sometimes we find that the limit orders are failing. And one of the things that's on this chart as well is we can look at the correlated influence of the different parameters as it relates to the specific order type. So it turns out that if we dive now into the limit order types, it turns out that the reason, that the most important reason as to why some limit orders were failing was latency. So we could specifically correlate the failure of the limit orders to a spike in latency. And it was, like it was 90x% confident on that. And so for the first time, we now have both, we have quantitative evidence of the role of latency within the overall trading outcome, assisted by the use of machine learning. And we think that this is going to be a pretty big, you know, it's the next natural kind of path to go here. And it's a I think, a pretty big insight into for clients and customers to be able to see this. Okay, next example would be the use of machine learning applied to MiFID II compliance prediction. So what there's always, there's two questions that you always ask with compliance, which is, have I complied? And the second question is, am I likely to comply? And the second question is future looking. And if you haven't been called already, the second question is the most important. So am I likely to comply? In MiFID II, and we know that there's a tremendous range of rules and regulations. So buried within RTS 9, there's a little thing called order to trade ratio, where venues have the requirement to implement a daily maximum of order to trade ratio for all of their member flows. And specifically then, members have an obligation to make sure that they don't exceed those daily maximums, or they risk getting fines and potential suspension. You can assure compliance by continuously monitoring your order to trade ratio thresholds, which is not as straightforward as you would think, but to be able to do it continuously. It's straightforward to do it end of day, but the problem is if you look at it end of day, you may have already fallen breach of the rule. And so in an ideal situation, you actually would have a predictor which says by early morning, here's the prediction of your end of day position as it relates to the order to trade ratio. And so that's precisely what we did in an implementation. So we developed a machine learning algorithm for predicting what the final end of day order to trade ratio would be per asset class, per venue for a client. And again, the learnings were many. Our first attempts were not very successful. But now we can rely, again, with 90x% confidence by 11 o'clock in the day, we can predict what the end of trade, the end of day order to trade ratio would be. So again, it's just it's a good example of what the application of machine learning is to a given rule in terms of predicting its position. And also, of course, what you want to be able to do is be able to have the forensics involved in any query coming back. So that's another part of the value of having an accurate machine time database of everything that has happened. You can go back and do lots of queries, inquiries, more specifically around forensics and compliance inquiries. And the third example that I'm going to highlight here is industry benchmarking. So I would say over 15 years I've been doing this, we've been asked many, many times to go, well, can you benchmark me, you know, against my peers and my peer group? And look, what everyone's really asking is, how am I doing relative to the other guy? That's what everyone wants to know. And that's not an easy question. Either to answer accurately, but also, you know, we as a company have always maintained a kind of a Swiss neutral position, which is we provide analytics and allow people to get the best insight possible. But this has come up quite a bit in our discussions, and we have started we've teamed up with Greenwich, and we've done some very early work, very, very promising work, where what we're able to provide through our clients is access to highly granular, high-quality machine time data. And what Greenwich are very good at is the ability to analyze that and to be able to benchmark that from a business impact perspective. And the types of the types of items that we're able to look at here is specifically how does your execution quality compare to your peers? Again, needs to be done on a private and anonymized basis, but that's always the challenge. That has always been the challenge within the electronic trading industry, which is, yeah, I'm fast, but fast relative to who and what and when. And what everyone's trying to do is to benchmark themselves against the peers to understand this question, am I fast enough or where do I rank? And it's very hard to get a view on that. And so we're hoping that this joint work will be able to give us evidence on that. Also, to be able to look at, from a platform efficiency point of view, again, how is your platform doing relative to what others are experiencing? And the third one is really interesting, which is what would be the estimate of the cost to lead? So let's say you get a ranking, you're not top of the table, you end up from your position on the table, then what would it cost me to bridge that gap? And these are key questions that business stakeholders have every single day, but almost very, very difficult to assess and gain insight into. And so when you apply the business analysis on top of the machine time data, then you have a possibility of doing that. And we know what the likely outcome on this is, that people who have high benchmarks will look to market that to their clients and market that to the industry in the hope of getting a better competitive position. And people who don't will look and go, well, what's my cost to improve that? And it may be too much or not worth it, and I may exit from that business. And I think that's, you know, those decisions are being taken today. Quite often they're taken with maybe not perfect data. And so we're trying to bridge the gap with that. And again, analytics based on the data that streams in the infrastructure. I'll just say a quick word in terms of mega questions as to, well, how is this implemented? How do we do this? There are some specific choices, technological choices, that we have made in getting to this place. So we very much focus on this stream processing engine, which takes the raw data from the network and transforms it into, you know, the transaction data, the market data, business relevant context, so that we can then feed that into an analytic hub. And there's lots of trade-offs in that decision as well, but what you want to do is optimize it for streaming analytics. So you need to be able to continuously stream that. And sometimes, you know, the performance requirements are quite substantial. And that can lead you down a path of maybe, you know, choosing some more expensive databases and optimized databases. But what is very attractive out there is the work that's done in the open source community, particularly around the big data stacks and just the sheer momentum that sits behind that. And we've gone that direction just because we think that the capability for the price is compelling. And so to address the speed and processing, you have to do that elsewhere. And I think that that's probably instructive to how people are making decisions today, is that there's certain technologies that maybe aren't perfect as relates to performance, but they're great on price or they're great on function. And so you can overcome, you know, what it misses with another choice. And so what we basically do is we tap into the networks, we take the raw packet data, we stream process that, we feed that into a big data stack, and that stack is optimized for doing machine learning. We leverage Spark engines, and, you know, from that we can then derive the intelligence that we need to do the type of examples. And all of that, you know, all of that technology is there today. There's no, you know, technology is not the barrier to this. And so, you know, the culmination of this is that we think in kind of the next wave. We all know about transaction cost analysis, TCA. We think that there's an emphasis going to be coming on quality, transaction quality analysis. So the aspect of optimization, forensics, benchmarking, and compliance is going to be at the forefront of that. And I think that transaction quality analysis is going to be a very important thing as it relates to clients as they interact with their brokers or dealers, which is, tell me about the quality, you know, of the execution and the transaction, and, you know, is it, you know, give me your benchmarks on compliance, give me your benchmark on execution outcome, give me your benchmark, you know, if I want to see something, can you get me that view straight away? And I think that's it from me. Okay, thank you.
No, you don't. Just quickly, the Greenwich Associates thing, is that a product that's available today, or is that something that's still in development?
Yeah, it's not available today. It's in development, but we are engaging with clients, and we have proof of concepts ongoing.
Okay, thank you.
And if anyone's interested, please see me afterwards.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.